Welcome back. You're listening to No One Is Illegal Radio, a show about the frontline struggles for justice, dignity, and self-determination by migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. We're part of Off the Hour at CKUT 90.3 FM. We're grassroots community radio on the island of Montreal. I'm your host for today, Robin Maynard, a member of No One Is Illegal Montreal. First up, we're going to go to an interview with Uwatene Hitne and Ojess Leo. Uwatene Hitne is the father of Ojess Leo, and they are both residents of the Six Nations territory and have been active and very vocal in resistance to the Olympic torch relay, which will be passing through their territory on December 21st, 2009. Ojess Leo has been mobilizing with youth of the community against the torch relay. I was able to interview these two earlier today, and we'll go to that interview right now.
Okay, my name is Uwatene Hitne from Six Nations, and daughter here is
Ojess Leo.
You have been really vocal in opposition to the Six Nations resistance to the 2010 Olympics and the torch relay. The torch is scheduled to come through on the December 21st. Could I ask you to speak about the significance of the torch to the Six Nations community?
What's interesting that happened down in this territory was the local band council gave approval for it. But what they did was they held a public meeting, and at this public meeting to talk about it, 99% of the people were against it, and only two people spoke for it. And they said, okay, we're going to have more meetings on this, and they never did. They just went ahead and planned this event anyway. In this territory, in Six Nations, the Olympic torch is an international event. With our Iroquois Confederacy, with our Confederacy chiefs, our Confederacy Council here, which is traditional, we have what's called, and it was given to the band councils, is the 7 points of jurisdiction. And that was to help them understand what they can and can't do down here. And they, for instance, membership, the great law, our ceremonies, international relations, it all falls under the Confederacy Council of Chiefs. And they have the jurisdiction on that. The Confederacy Council has never given their approval to have this torch run come through this territory. That is the biggest violation down in our territory with that torch coming down here. It does not have any authorization to come down here from our Confederacy Council of Chiefs. The majority of the people here are not in favor of that torch coming through our territory. What it represents is not something that we look kindly on, and my daughter can address that a little bit here.
Fuego, fuego, fuego. Hello, everybody. The torch, there's a few main reasons why we're opposing the torch in this territory specifically. The road that they're coming down, for example, when the torch comes here on December 21st, is the plank road. That road is our road. That road has never been it has never been paid for or anything like that, and they're coming down that road, and they have never gotten permission to come down that road from our people. They're trying to come right by the Douglas Creek Estate, former Douglas Creek Estate, the reclamation, coming onto our territory. And we've been in negotiations for well over 3-4 years now, and Canada refuses to recognize our treaties, refuses to recognize the rights that we have to the land, refuses to follow through with any of the promises they've been giving our people. But yet, when the Olympics comes, they expect us to hold their Canadian flag up high and run it through our territory without permission, without going through the proper channels, without respecting our traditions. And that's a huge slap in the face to our people. But not only that, what's happening with these Olympics is Canada is trying to make this Olympics, put it out there in the public as having a brown face, as having an Indian Ongwahome face, because in the international realm, Canada has been shamed constantly for their treatment of Indigenous people, for not signing the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. They voted against that, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, and so they've been getting shamed over and over again from the international realm on the treatment of our people, with the Truth and Reconciliation Committee that has been exposing the horrors that Canada's done through the residential schools as well. And so now when the Olympics is coming, they're hoping to turn this international view of Canada around saying that, oh, we treat our indigenous people so well. Look at where they're running the torch. Look at, like, we're including indigenous people within this Olympics to make it seem like everything is fine and dandy here with the relationship with Canada and the Anglo-Hohe people, but it's not. And we're here to expose those things that they've constantly been doing, because the colonization process does not end with the closing of the last residential school. It still continues on to this day. It still continues with their lack of addressing and recognizing the treaties that we have, with their lack of recognizing our sovereignty, with all of the different colonial processes that continue. So this is a very big issue for all Anglo-Hohe people to look at and say, and to second guess, why are they coming through our territory? Should we stand for that? Should we play into their hands and be that token Indian they want us to be? Because it's a very difficult thing to do, because I know it's very difficult for people, because to everybody, what it puts out in the media, the Olympics is such a sports-friendly thing. It's all about competition, and they want to throw politics out of the window. But what we have to recognize is that we can't do that. We can't throw politics out of the window, because everything we do is political. Everything we do has an effect on the next seven generations. So we have to think about what this is going to do, what carrying that torch is going to say to the youth. And the youth are saying no. The youth are saying we don't want this here. And our leaders are ignoring that. So it's been a really hefty issue within Six Nations, this torch, and it's been really dividing our community, and I think that's what it was intended to do. So we have a bit of time now to start uniting people around this issue, and that's what we've been trying to do.
Yeah, you've been really active with the youth resistance to the torch relay. Could you talk a little more about this opposition and the discussions that have been going on around that?
At first, there wasn't that much talk here about the torch relay or about the Olympics. So not many people knew about it, because here we have so many issues that we're dealing with on a constant basis, you know, with all the land claims that we have here, with all the protests that have been going on at development sites. So there wasn't very much focus on it, until we had a member from the Native Youth Movement come out here on a speaking tour and start speaking about what was going on to their people out west because of the Olympics. And what was going on with their people, the destruction, the blasting of the mountains for that highway between Whistler and Vancouver, the complete trashing of the trails, the wildlife trails where they would hunt. Like, all of these things that were going on out west were almost like mirrors of what's going on here. And so we started seeing the connections that we have over this issue, because this has been going on in our territory for a long time. It's been going on in their territory for a long time, and this provides us the opportunity to connect and to resist that together. So the Native Youth Movement came and started speaking to the youth here, and they asked for our help. And so we said that we took on this issue, and we said, this is important. This is an important point of unity between our people. We need to stand together against this. And we just stand together for our rights, for the future. So there was a press conference that was happening in Toronto with Phil Fontaine, with Coca-Cola, and, like, head people from RBC. And they were doing this press release saying that they were going to have Native youth running the torch, and they were looking for all these Native youth to run it. And we went there, and we broke it up. We found out about it, and we said, you know what? They need our help. They need hope. And we need to do something here. So we took that opportunity, and we went there, and we broke up that press release thing that they were doing. And we had banners there of No Olympics on Stolen Land, and we actually talked to Phil Fontaine and some of the high executives there for quite a while. We wore our traditional clothes, and we went there, and we stood up. And that kind of blew everything up, and our band council found out about that. And they were like, well, why are you doing this? Because they supported the Olympics. And so when we came back to our community, that got everywhere, because it was on APTN and it was on a lot of media. They invited us to their band council meeting, and they asked us, why are you opposing the Olympics? What is this whole deal? And they were very offended by what we did, that action. So we went there. We went there with around 40 people. We took over the whole meeting, and we said, this is why. If you want to know why, we'll tell you why. And we went there, and we told them everything. Like, why we're supporting it, why it's important for our people. We showed them videos from online that the Native Youth Movement made, and we told them that, like, we have to stand up for this. It's in our great law. It's our responsibility to stand up for and to help those people at West. So those people out west helped us. They came here when the reclamation happened. They did their own blockades out west when the reclamation happened out Six Nations. They supported us. We have to stand up for this. So we spoke, and we spoke for a long time, and we spoke from our hearts. And they, because we did that, they called a community meeting. And so they called a community meeting, and our Six Nations Band Council, what they did is they spent thousands of our community money to fly these people out just to a community meeting. And so we had all these people from out west, from Vanok, from the four host nations, telling us about how the Olympics was so good at this community meeting. And then at the other side of the table, they kind of made it in a panel. They invited us to come up, and we talked about our people. We talked about our values and our history and why, according to that, we should be opposing it. And we spoke from our hearts. And we also had two other women there talking about the issue of women with the Olympics and all the missing women. And everyone in that room, after we spoke, was against the Olympics, except for maybe four of them. And most of those people that weren't were either sports people or, like, coaches and stuff, or the other ones were former band council employees. And they're not listening to the voice of the people and the voice of the youth, because the youth have stand up strong against this. And we've taken the lead on this. And it's the first time that such a big thing has come through our community that the youth have taken the lead on. And so, and it's youth in other communities that have been taking the lead on this as well, which is very fascinating. And it's really amazing to see those young people finding their voice and the older people coming along with us, standing beside us. So that the youth have been really, really instrumental in pushing this issue forward in this community. And I think that when the torch comes through here, you'll see all youth on the front lines and all youth, like, you know, standing there and standing up for the people out west, just like you'll see out west all the youth from the Native Youth Movement. So it's going to be extremely empowering for people to see those young people standing up, you know.
Yeah, I think that's true. What you're saying about the Canadian government trying to make the public image of the Olympics have a brown face, and when there's the face of all this Native opposition to it. There are actually two people who are supposed to be selected by the Six Nations who are supposed to be representing the face of Six Nations in the Olympics when the torch relay comes through. It seems like the government's trying to really seem inclusive in this way, but you have a pretty strong critique of that. Do you want to elaborate on that a little more? Or?
Yeah, the whole fact of it is, and this can be said in all of the different Ngohoyan communities, is that the government is a very, very oppressive government. Canada is still very, very oppressive to Ngohoyan people. Right now, there's a protest going on in Toronto against the HST tax in Ontario, how they're the harmonized sales tax, how they're putting PST and GST together and trying to make it so Native people don't have to pay all the taxes. And we don't get our rights. Like, even those little rights that they put for us, like, that they gave to us in the Indian Act is very oppressive, but even those little rights they get, they're trying to take away right now. And they're doing all these things while, like, under the surface, they're doing all these things trying to slowly take away all of our rights, our hunting rights, our fishing rights, our rights to the land. They're slowly trying to make our territory smaller and smaller and smaller by the building, by the development in the cities and in the communities around us. They're always putting minefields and all these other things close and garbage dumps and toxic waste dumps near our communities, and it's slowly happening. And I think this Olympics is bringing up a lot of those issues and the unity between the different communities, how these issues are happening in all of our Ngohoyan communities, all of them united. And so when Canada's very, very hardly trying to make this a brown Olympics, put the brown face on the Olympics, because they know that that's what they're doing. And they know that we have a lot of power if we're to stand against this united. And they're very scared of that, trying to co-opt more of our people, co-opt the AFN to get involved by giving them more programming, while at the same time they're doing all of these oppressive things to our people. And not only that, but the extreme intelligence they've been doing by surveillance of people that are against the Olympics, the CSIS and the OPP and the police have been trying, like, vigorously to get at the youth that are opposing this. They're just youth, you know? We're just trying to do the right thing. What is Canada doing to Ngohoyan people? And are we going to take this opportunity that the Olympics gives us to take a stand and tell the rest of the world what's going on here and to garner that support and to take a stand united together? So that's a question we've got to ask ourselves.
Okay, what I'd like to add is that my daughter mentioned that CSIS went through and interviewed my daughter over the Olympics. This was earlier this year that that happened, and while negotiations were going on, we took my daughter to a negotiations meeting when Canada and Ontario and our chiefs were sitting at the table. And from our lead negotiator, looking right across the table at Canada and Ontario, they wanted to have an answer why CSIS was interviewing our youth down here at Six Nations on the Olympics, what rights they had to interview our youth on that. Canada said they would look into it. The province said they'd look into it. No answer has ever come back to that negotiating table. It's just a symbol of what Canada's done. They say they're going to do things, and they never follow through.